like you to respond to a question. So I think about this question. As you ponder on the present situation, as you think about what we're going through at the moment, what feeling is paramount for you that's most important? What comes to your mind? So think for it for a moment, then unmute yourself and tell everybody what that feeling is. Not a long explanation, just the feeling word, if you would.
Fear.
Doing the right thing.
Hope for better things to come.
Stressed.
Yeah, mine would be uncertainty.
And the one before Collis was?
Sadness.
Tiredness.
Overwhelmed by the whole situations and sometimes can be very emotional.
Concerned for the children in my class.
Uncertainty.
Thank you all very much for contributing to that. It was great. What I'd like you to notice is just recall some of those feelings that have just been mentioned. And then I just want to point you to that very, very early church. Many of those words and phrases you just used, they would have probably said very similar things. Fear, anxiety, stress, all of that kind of stuff. Perhaps a glimmer of hope, maybe. But there's a whole load of different things. Just remember this particular chapter, chapter 6, we're at the very, very early stage of a burgeoning new movement, which would eventually become the Christian church. And at this particular time, those disciples, and what I mean by the disciples were the 12 plus those, the community that had gathered around them, they were all Jews. They were still part of a Jewish tradition, still going to the synagogue, but also meeting separately as well. And really interestingly, the chapter that we had read to us in chapter 6, it talks of two types of Jew. There are many types of Jew, but there are two particular ones mentioned there. Those that I would call the traditional Palestine Jews, those who lived in Palestine. And then there were Jews that were scattered across the known world at that point. And they were called in this passage the Hellenic group Jews, or those from a kind of Greek background. It just basically meant those from Palestine. And our chapter here tells us there was a bit of an argument going along in that early community. We won't go into the details of it, but it was all around practicalities. And so to solve it, the original 12, well, it wasn't the original 12, 11 plus 1, who was added a little later, came together and thought, right, we've got to do something about this. And so what they did was that they chose 7 people to do those very practical tasks that were needed in that early Christian community. And one of those people who were chosen was a bloke called Stephen. And he's the one who I just want to focus on for a few minutes this morning. Now, Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and also the Acts of the Apostles, he describes him in the two chapters, 6 and 7 of Acts. And you've been reading those, I think, throughout this week, those who follow those readings from our WhatsApp group. Luke describes him as full of faith, full of grace and power. And you'll also know that if you have read chapter 7, the chapter which follows the one was read to us, you discover that Stephen was eventually stoned to death by the traditional Jewish community for blasphemy. And really interestingly, that the apostle who wrote many of our letters, Paul, who was called Saul there, then was looking on. He approved of this at that point. So that's some of the context, some of the background. I think it's often helpful just to understand what's actually happening. So we've got a community that was locked in, not unlike us in some ways, They were locked in for fear of all that was around. And we have a number of people who are prepared to put their head above the parapet and, I guess, begin to talk about a message of hope. So what has this got to say to us? Stephen is a symbol of hope. So the early Christian movement were not faced with a pandemic like we are, but they were nevertheless in a really dark place. We're told that following Stephen's stoning, that a severe persecution occurred against the church. And I mean, that's quite something, because many were imprisoned, many were tortured. And in the middle of this darkness, Stephen and his fellow believers shone a light of hope. Now, a number of you mentioned some of the fears and the anxiety and the confusions and the discombobulation and all the other words that you can use to describe where we are at the moment. But there are many inside and outside of the Christian community who are feeling very similar. Our world that we knew has been turned upside down. Some are, as we know, imprisoned in their own homes for at least 12 weeks, if not more. All have experienced loss of some kind, whether that's actually loss of a loved one or just loss of freedom, loss of doing the things that we used to do. And many are asking questions, and I find this in my work situation. And where's God in all of this? What does the faith, the Christian faith which we hold on to, have to say about this? Not going to talk about that at the moment, but it's a good question for you to think about. We also have seen, and those of you who look at the telly and see some of the news items, lots of incredible acts of kindness, generosity, love, sacrifice. Many of those you've probably experienced yourself or you've given to others. In many ways, the human spirit created by God is very much alive and well and does offer hope to us all. I'm not going to give you a long talk this morning. I'm going to conclude now. And I want to conclude in this way. The hope that the Christian faith offers, that hope is rooted both in pain and suffering, as well as joy and peace. We are often called in the Christian church at this time of the Christian year, Easter people. But those Easter people live in paradox of that pain and suffering and joy and peace. We somehow have to bring those together. And we need the other. We can't actually just be, well, because we're Christians, we can just celebrate and we can forget about all the difficult things. That is not being true to yourself. It's not being people of integrity. It's not being a true Christian. A true Christian tries to live out that paradox. So what I want to encourage you to do, as you see Stephen, as you see that early Christian community being beacons of hope in the midst of huge, huge difficulty, can I just encourage you, as I ask myself, to listen well to those who you live with, to those who you talk to day by day, whether it's by Zoom, by FaceTime, by WebEx, or whatever you use in terms of your communication channels at the moment. Can I encourage you to listen well in these dark times? Can I encourage you to act generously towards others? And can I also encourage us to rest in the hope that in that paradox of resurrection and new life, there's also suffering and sorrow, but God is present in all of those things. Amen.